The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by the folks here at the D Circa. It's Gil Alexander.
I was trying to play to the ceiling cam.
The ceiling cam was very cool.
Yeah.
I like
that. A little bumping, yeah.
Yeah. Apologies on the audio for the guests here that we just had. We need a little levity.
Yeah, we're still working some things out here. Yeah. Internet, a little bit of an issue. Yeah.
College football guessing lines coming up momentarily from Kelly by popular demand. I buried the headline at the beginning of the show, Aaron Rodgers with his Achilles. Why would I talk about that first when college football guessing lines is coming?
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty confident in mine, actually. I got to tell you, I think you guys gave me some easier ones.
I don't know. I kind of saw the results. We'll get to that momentarily.
You saw the results?
Yeah,
though,
yeah. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Betting X Factor's Grant. I saw something. Brady could technically put his Raiders ownership into a trust and be eligible to play.
Yeah, okay.
That takes a little while, though, doesn't it?
I don't know the details on how this would work, but his name's been thrown around enough that, yes, I am sure there is a way Tom Brady could take the field tomorrow.
Sure.
But I don't know what all he would need to go through. Yes,
he
is technically still a part of an ownership of another team.
Sam Wesley, just a nugget from your Leila Fernandez play today. Looking back, is the Raducanu Fernandez final winner the most bizarre outcome of any sporting event ever? Sam, yes, and we knew it at the time. Emma Raducanu won as a qualifier. It has never happened before. It may never happen since. Fernandez was a dog to get there, too. Colin Murphy talking about the Jets. Why not go all in and go after Kyler Murray? I don't know. I mean, for this year, is that an upgrade? Sure.
Okay, see, you have that reaction. I actually like this idea better than most of the names that have just been these trash names.
Oh, I do too. I agree with that. Like, it's better than Carson Wentz.
Yes, you'd have to invest, trade equity again or draft equity again, right? Like, that's probably not something the Jets are looking to do, but we knew this is likely what was going to happen with Arizona all along.
Sports Pick Magic saying that he agrees with me about the third down. He also agrees with Will Hill. He says, I agree totally. Also didn't understand the Jets going for it, then running into the pile three times with the game on the line. But I guess it worked out for them. Sports Pick Magic, I said the same thing at the beginning of the show. Scola at Scola _10. Asking for a friend, do you think the Jets could consider any of the below? Shane Falco, that's from The Replacements.
Yeah.
Willie Beeman, that's Any Given Sunday. Paul Blake from Necessary Roughness. Jonathan Moxon from Varsity Blues. Or Paul Crew from The Longest Yard.
Wow, look, did you really just know all those?
No, I knew
Paul Blake.
I knew Falco and Beeman.
Yes, I knew those two as well. Well, yeah. And Moxon. I knew Jonathan Moxon.
Yeah.
From Varsity Blues. You got to go with Shane Falco in this situation, though. He's the veteran quarterback. He's got the experience. All these other guys we're talking about younger, more flawed, younger players. You got to go with Shane Falco.
The Replacements based on what story, Kelly?
I don't know.
The 1987 Scabs.
I was
going to
say, like, the like real story of players holding out?
Loosely based. By the way, he says it would be an upgrade from Wilson. Also, we have all those Jets primetime games to look forward to. You know what's worse than that? We have Giants primetime games to look forward to. Mike Manning, Gil, want your opinion on NL Cy Young. I'm Snell 111-1. Did he mean 11-1 or 111-1? Ticket to win a large amount. Haven't hedged a penny yet. Let it ride or take some steel / gallon. I'd take a little steel, maybe.
Yeah, I guess depends on what number it is. 111-1, you sure are.
I wouldn't take any gallon, though. Golden Bear, listen to Drew today. You guys were discussing Josh Allen. I think the real internal problem is number 14. Stephon Diggs is a mini Antonio Brown type problem. Phil Weiss, enough of the anti-Snell-ite. It's not MVP. That's why pitchers can and have won it. Wasn't saying that at all, Phil Weiss. But I leave it to you to always misinterpret. I think I think that Blake Snell is the rightful favorite. I'm just saying, what's the justification for betting steel? Because that's what Kelly asked me about. Does he think it's steel? New York Mets 16. Why is Matt Olson not being talked about for MVP? 50 homers and a 24 RBI advantage over second place cannot be just because he's only hitting .279. He definitely deserves some love. Norman Vegas. The last reading of We Get Tweets had Lido Shuffle playing in the background. Sounded perfect. Any chance Boz Skaggs songs can be the official tunes of We Get Tweets? What's your favorite Boz Skaggs, Kelly, huh?
I got one.
Probably Lido Shuffle.
What was the Bob Seger, right, with Night Moves? I'm pretty sure we've heard that every day, which I'm not complaining about. That's a good song.
Bob Seger, Night Moves is very popular in here.
Yeah.
Okay. For those who are new to the show. Oh. Okay. All right. It's as if we planned that. We didn't. But apparently there's a new college football guessing lines intro with that music.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do anymore.
For those who are new to the show and you're like, wait a minute, didn't we just guess NFL lines yesterday? Yes, we do. We do each and every Monday here on the show. And the podcast form goes to the Beating the Book feed. We should probably point that out. And again, super humbled by all the amazing numbers that podcast gets, both Megapod that I do with Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and a rotating guest every week, and Guessing Lines, the first one that we did with Chrissy in absentia. We're all very sad about it, starting with me at the top, believe me. But we're all super humbled by that. So thank you. That's what we do Mondays, guessing lines in the NFL, where I stay in a cocoon and then I guess the NFL lines and we look for a betting edge. Well, last year, now let me just say about my friend here, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin knows his golf, loves his golf, bets golf all the time, bets it successfully. Man, does he love his NBA. Bets the NBA all the time, pre-flop, in-game. He does very well. Well, last year at one point, I guess Futac was coming up, which he is today as well.
Yeah, he is.
Right before the segment, Kelly says, I don't know, he wanted a line for one of the games Futac wanted
to
talk about.
Trying to get graphics ready or something. Yeah.
And he gave me a random game. I can't remember what it was. I want to say it was a UW game.
It was involving Washington. I don't remember the other side.
And I gave you, and when I gave you the line, I said, oh, it's 14. And Kelly, with a pregnant pause, then says, plus or minus. So this is our little way of adding levity to things. Kelly Bidlin guessing college football lines, everybody.
There we go. Fire it up. We got the open. College football guesses lines. Wake up, D. Wake up. It's time to have some fun in here. Can't get anybody on the phone. Can't get anybody on the internet. Whatever.
Our only adjustment is that we've gone from 5 games to 4 games this year.
Yeah, we were a little lengthy last year.
A little lengthy. 4 games.
Shoot, we might be a little lengthy this segment.
All right, let's pop up the first. Let's pop up the first game. What do we have?
No,
here?
You got to do order. I can't see the line.
What's that?
I'm guessing line.
Oh, is a line on the graphic?
Yeah, line's
on
the graphic.
I don't know what you guys are doing at all.
All right, I have Florida State Boston College written down first.
Are we going to have FSU every week because you went there?
Of course we are. Right. I believe we came up with two rules. I don't think we can mind sharing with the audience, right? As long as Florida State's undefeated, they're on here every week.
Colorado,
as long
definitely.
As Colorado's undefeated, they're okay. On here every week because these are the two teams everybody wants to talk about. So let's take it to Boston College.
We try
baby.
To talk about FSU like they talk about Colorado, but okay.
Oh, everybody's talking about FSU like they're talking about college. Colorado. Maybe not yet, Gil, but they should be the number one team in the country. They're the best team in the country. They're rolling into Boston College, who, if I've got this right, Gil, were 8-point favorites over Northern Illinois, okay? And last time I checked, Jordan Lynch not playing for that team anymore. They barely squeak. They lose that game outright, and then they barely squeak out a win to Holy Cross. Holy Cross in football.
Hey, don't curse.
Holy Cross. They barely squeak out a win. Florida State, one of the best cover margins in the country, the best so far through two games. This has got to be minimum FSU minus 24, 25. I put it FSU minus 31 for this game, rolling into Boston College. Best team in the country. I don't care if it's an ACC rivalry.
All right, you were going great for a while, and then you went 31 on us, which is a little high.
That's light. That's light. Lay the points. Yeah. I'm laying points with that one.
So value on the Seminoles is what
you're
saying.
Value on the Noles, yeah. There's going to be value on the Noles here like all season.
All right, because it's so high, that's not like your worst pick ever. We'll sort of give you that.
Yeah.
Even though it's fine.
Wyatt likes to give me some of these huge dogs. Yeah.
Okay. What's next? We do have Colorado. Colorado, 2-0, baby. Prime. Coach Prime. And Heisman candidates, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, who I've said very openly on this show, please keep winning. I love the content, and I love betting them every the moment it opens. Got the 2.5 last week. It ended up being 2.5 anyway, so I didn't get anything. I already did it this week, and I can't tell you what it is. Colorado hosting Colorado State. What's that line?
Toughest of the four that you gave me by far, because how much is the Colorado hype train worth? You don't really know that yet, right? And we've got Colorado State, who got pummeled by Washington State, and that's about it, 50-24 in their only game that they've played so far this year. I went Colorado minus 28. That's what I threw. I have no idea, Gil. Like, you're really trying to handicap what is the hype train with Colorado right now. I feel like for anybody out there who sets these numbers professionally, you're kind of just guessing with some of these right now.
I
went Colorado 28. 28?
It's I grabbed the 21 when it first came out.
Okay, great bet.
It's a little tick above that now. It's like 23 and a half in most spots, something like that.
That's pretty dang close then.
Yeah, 23 and a half is what we're showing on the at DraftKings.
So, right, I don't even care how the rest go. That's going to be my closest so far. That's my favorite of all of them because I had no idea what to put for this lot.
Tennessee at Florida. SEC clash.
All right, well, this one's easy. We talked already about the best school in the state of Florida. Well, let's get to the worst school in the state of Florida. I saw them play that game against Utah. Oh, my gosh. Let's go down to FCS, Florida. It's time to get out of the SEC, okay?
Uh-huh.
Tennessee, apparently they're ranked 11th in the country. I don't really know why. But I went Tennessee minus 17 here. I don't really know if this is a rivalry game anymore.
This is your best one.
Tennessee rolled into Gainesville. Got to be laying at least two touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Not even close?
No, it's less than a touchdown. It's 6.5.
That's
you really
silly.
Must hate the Gators.
That's just silly. There's a lot of value on that Tennessee
that
side.
That is a very poor guess. A lot of value on the balls. Hey, by the way, this doesn't mean you're wrong. Tennessee could win by 17, and then you'll be dead on.
Damn straight.
We should track that. And finally, what's the last one? What do we got?
Well, of course, it has to do with UNLV.
Wyatt Tomchek.
UNLV and Vanderbilt. So this one was a tricky one to figure out, right? Yeah. You're talking about one of the worst teams just usually in the nation in football in UNLV, and then one of the worst team in the SEC almost every year in Vanderbilt. Okay, UNLV beat up on Bryant week one, lost to Michigan, but did cover in week two. Okay, Vandy loses to Wake 36-20 after wins against Y, Alabama, AMM. I went Vandy minus 2.5. Tough one to figure out.
Vandy minus 4.5.
I'll take that.
Sadly,
2 points.
Sadly, no one else can because it doesn't exist. It's College Football Guessing Lines, everybody, with Kelly Midland. Actual college football next with Pete Futek. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way, too many to count, that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. This is a tennis story that only tennis hardos will care about, but Simona Halep was just banned 4 years for anti-doping rule violations. 4 years. Simona Halep. That is a career ender for Simona Halep. 4 years. I'm trying to think, how old will she be at that point? She'll be 35 years old. So that's it for her. She won 2 Grand Slam titles in her career. And was, while she was playing, was obviously always a threat in everything. She won the French Open in 2018. She won Wimbledon in 2019. 4 years doping. Wow. That's unbelievable.
That's wild. And we did just get confirmation on Aaron Rodgers. Misrest of season after MRI confirms torn Achilles, sources telling ESPN.
Yeah. So, again, that's a very easy thing also to determine when you squeeze your calf. And particularly when they do this at a doctor's office, they'll put you on your stomach typically. But when you, anytime you have your wherever your leg is positioned, if you squeeze your calf, your foot will involuntarily move with it. When you rupture your Achilles and you do that, your foot just sits there dead. So it's a very easy test. Like they probably knew it last night.
That's what they kept saying. Yeah.
By the way, I don't know why. Like J.K. Dobbins, we knew immediately.
Right.
By the way, Melvin Gordon, as I mentioned, coming up from the Ravens practice squad now to fill the roster spot. But they announced it immediately before the game was even over. Why the subterfuge? Why the mystery with Rodgers last night? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't really know either. But that is, like I heard that multiple times too. That team personnel out on the field likely knew right then that was the case with Rodgers last night. Probably just being careful. I mean, maybe different team facilities have different access to things. I understand if you want to be careful with something like this before you officially make the announcement, but
Sure.
But on the other side of it, then how do you know that quick with Dobbins? I don't really know.
Ravens, like, first of all, we never saw the Dobbins play, right? Like, they never focused on it. It was just a random play. And then, like, oh, by the way, J.K. Dobbins is done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Colorado, by the way, we're looking at the ratings for college football on Saturday. Ratings for college football on Saturday. Colorado, Nebraska, 8.7 million viewers. Texas, Alabama, 7.9 million viewers. So again, while that Texas, Alabama game was the marquee matchup of the weekend, the biggest story in college football happens to be, and will continue to be as long as they keep winning, the Colorado Buffaloes under Coach Prime. We have Peter now? We do not.
Man,
okay. We don't. But what I was saying before, I was alluding to it during college football guessing lines, is as soon as the number came out, when Colorado won their first game against TCU, I immediately grabbed the opener against Nebraska.
Yeah.
Because I was like, when someone was like, hey, I think Michael Bonasano asked me, what do you think the line will be Colorado-Nebraska? And I immediately said in our little version of guessing lines, I don't know, maybe flipped. Instead, it was like even. I think it was a pick 'em at first, and then the money came in on Colorado. I grabbed them under a field goal at 2.5. I didn't want to get past that. Now, in the end, it didn't get there, but I grabbed that bet. They end up crushing Nebraska. This week, immediately it opened at 21. I grabbed that. It's now higher. It's 23.5. I'm not a jump on the immediate release kind of guy typically, but with this team, every week. And so now, by the way, did you see the look ahead on Colorado against Oregon?
No.
What would you guess? What would you guess?
Was it like preseason? Was it the look at 35?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just talking about what do you think it is now? The first release at DraftKings.
Oregon 7.5.
14.5.
Okay.
I'll take the Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Give me that real quick.
Yeah, I hear you.
Immediately.
I think it's interesting. I think this is it's a team that's interesting. I'm sure there's been many shows on the network that have talked to odds makers. It would be a great, great conversation to have with them about a team that you have power rated so lowly, seemingly everybody did, right? Heading into the season, and how do you adjust lines from week to week, you know?
So this is the macro point I want to make about this. We talk about in the NFL. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's almost like when we talk alternate win totals with the NFL, it feels almost impossible from an odds making standpoint to nail what that line should be.
Well, I'm going to focus on the modelers, the bettors standpoint, the people who model college football. So we famously, I say on this show during the entire NFL offseason, I said, listen, when I talk about it in the context of Survivor, I believe it's a misnamed game. You're supposed to play to win, not to survive. But I concede the first 4 or 5 weeks of it, you should play to survive because none of us knows a damn thing, right? We think we know, but there's inevitably going to be some things about the NFL that we don't know. Witness the Rams-Seahawks game where everybody here that came on the show thought the Seahawks was one of the great bets, and they get destroyed by the Rams. There's any number of examples of that every single year. So you have to have a sort of humility going into any sports season. I just happen to talk about in the NFL. But college football, this Colorado thing is the most awesome microcosm to sort of show people who think they know college football. With the transfer portal, not only should you be humble any year, but now you should be super humble about projections. And on a team like Colorado, would they have 86? Was it 84 new players? I can't remember the number. How you can in any way confidently think you know what's going to happen.
Right.
And by the way, let me just say this. I didn't know. It's not like I'm saying I knew Colorado would be this good until you actually put them in front of me. But the notion that you would know what their true level would be heading into a season.
71.
71 new players?
71.
I thought it was more.
71 scholarship players.
Yeah, no, it's 80 plus. The notion that you would think you would know how that team will perform is just, to me, the biggest fallacy in the world. Now, we're seeing it drift into the season. They beat TCU. What did everybody say? Everybody said, oh, well, TCU might not be that good either. I mean, they're clearly not the team that went to the national championship. We all get that. But, TCU might not be that good. Then the Nebraska line, which I said was going to be flipped, and TCU Colorado should be a 7.5-point favorite after the look-ahead was Nebraska 7.5.
Yeah.
It only ends up less than a field goal. I'm like, did y'all watch Nebraska? who did they play the first week? I can't even remember. Was it Minnesota, I believe? And then did y'all watch Nebraska the first week? Did y'all watch Colorado play TCU? But somehow you've decided you're looking for an excuse not to think Colorado's good. Now we see Colorado crush Nebraska.
Minnesota 13 to 10,
pardon me. No, I did say
that's what you said. Yeah, okay, you got it.
Minnesota 13 to 10. Now, what are we hearing from a lot of people? A lot of people who are taking the 23.5, they're like, oh, this is a letdown spot for Colorado. Do you really think Coach Prime, who wants his son to be a Heisman candidate, if not the Heisman winner itself, you really think he's going to let his team let down against Colorado State? 23.5 is a lot of points, I'll grant you that. But like to decide that narrative is a truth is just so ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
And it's all drift from this preconceived notion of what this team can be. Now, by the way, we all said as they get to, let's say they go 3-0 and they end up with Oregon and USC in games 4 and 5. Let's say they go into those 3-0, which I think most people think now at this point they will. You guess 7.5. To me, that's a better number than 14.5. Like, I get it. This is a step up in competition. But you're giving me 14.5?
Yeah.
I will happily take the hook on that.
It's no, I hear you. It's really an interesting practice, and really what you were talking about there, just even of the main point of how you make these numbers.
You need to have, especially in college football now with the transfer portal, you need to have a humility in your numbers.
Yeah,
I get it. Maybe you're successful college football better, but it's a new world, and I think Colorado is the most stark example of of some sort of maybe not even in your numbers, maybe it's beyond that, some sort of pre-flop bias on this that just hasn't gone away. And I'll say it again. I want this. Listen, I've got Shedeur Sanders at 150-1. I got Travis Hunter at 60-1. They aren't winning the national championship. No one's saying that. But I want this story to continue as long as possible because it is the best story in college football for sure. And I love that the market keeps undervaluing.
Well, I think it's a conversation I feel like we often have with Drew more than anybody. But, whether it's NBA or NFL, it's the conversation of when do you start to come off of your priors, right? Your season prior convictions, right?
That's my question
That's the ultimate question with a team like Colorado. But I think it often goes back to, when people ask me, why don't you bet college football? Why don't you bet college basketball, really? I don't spend too much time seriously doing that because of a lot of things that you just hit on. And it's not to say that they are some of the best sports to bet if you're betting at certain conferences, right, certain markets, right? But like every year, you've got to relearn a massive roster and compare it to other teams in the country.
That's the question
that are doing the same thing.
That's the question I ask every time. When do you let go of your priors? And the point is that you should be letting go of them almost instantaneously now when rosters are completely flipped, especially in the case of Colorado. Baseball, Mark Borchardt next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football's back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. That's who. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Let's see. This is from Greg in Boise. Will DraftKings be offering you guys a playlist of the terrible casino music playing in the background? This is... Okay, I'll stop reading that one. Chris Heath chimes in. Also, Business Earnest. Huge fan of the show. But did they have to build the studio next to the kitchen? I don't know. Teasers and Parlays. My favorite segments with Kelly is college football guessing lines and when Kelly would give WTA score updates on primetime action trying to pronounce the players' names. We got to bring that back.
Yeah.
He's not great at that.
Hey, the well-known ones, I know. You and I have talked about this off-air a lot of times. Yeah. So you have to write tennis highlights for anchors on TV like I did back in the day. Oh, man. Some of these you got to get down how to spell out phonetically.
All right. Who was was number one in the world for 75 weeks and is now the number two women's player in the world. Go.
Iga Świątek.
Oh, pretty good. Świątek. Okay. Jesse Welch, that opening for College Guessing Lines was excellent. Brief, pleasant sounding, invites listeners to know that something is coming, and feels nostalgic, almost like the old Windows 98 startup sound. Great work. And then Dukes. All right, this is Dukes in the PNW. He says, let's be practical, Gil. The Jets should think about calling the Eagles or the Colts and grabbing Mariota or Minshew. This D can get them to the playoffs. Oh, the D absolutely can, yes. The defense. And it's funny you mention that, Dukes, because Steve Fezzik has texted into the show. And per his numbers, because we always talk about, like, what's the difference between a starting quarterback and the backup quarterback? Well, he had Rodgers rated only 1 point better than an average starting quarterback. You believe that, Fezzik? Only 1 point better than an average starting quarterback. He has Wilson 4 points worse than an average starting quarterback. He says the best backup quarterbacks per his numbers are Jacoby Brissett in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
and Dukes, Marcus Mariota in Philly, and Gardner Minshew in Indianapolis, just like you said. But he says each of those guys is still a minus two versus an average quarterback.
See, I'd take Brissett over all those guys. I'm biased, but...
By the way, if you're wondering also, like, only 1 point for Rodgers, because I was. He said Mahomes is 5 points better, Burrow 3, Allen 3, Hurts and Herbert 2.5 by his numbers, by comparison. So, there you go. Let's talk some baseball. I always say October is my favorite month of the sports betting year and the sports calendar in general, with playoff baseball and NFL and college football in full swing. But this is pretty darn good too. Again, 17 to 19 games left in the regular season. We bring in Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. Basewinner, basewinner.com, at Basewinner on Twitter. He's got a BetUS show that he does with Jason Weingarten as well. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm really enjoying this third wild card. I was kind of opposed to it. As I come around, I was like, oh, this is going to become like hockey where everybody comes in. But, like, this third wild card is, like, super cool. I think it's including the Diamondbacks in it right now, which is super exciting to watch, Gil.
Giants, baby. Giants. Just want to let you know. There's magic involved. Giants coming back in the 10th yesterday against the Guardians. Let me ask you, what are your plays today? Let's start there.
Well, speaking of your San Francisco Giants, the first play, I'm going to play them team total over 2.5. You can get that plus money in the market. Or first five, rather.
Yeah.
First five team total over 2.5. It'd be great if it was full game, but that's not. Plus 114, and Quantrill, his strikeout percentage is super low since he's come back, and then including games before that at 12%. Stuff plus for Quantrill is not very good, 43rd percentile. BBK's bad. And I think this Giants offense, they haven't been producing the last month, and people are talking about real recent production. And I just think that's kind of the wrong number to use. I think you kind of got to look for a larger body of work. They're not great by my numbers, but they're 17th in baseball. I think it's capable. They're capable of getting over this 2.5 total and in the first five, and for plus money, why not?
Yeah. Let me just ask you about that market in general. And it's typically lined at 2.5 for team totals in the first five innings. There's obviously exceptions to that, but typically that's the number. Do you find that market particularly exploitable? The reason I ask is because my buddy Todd Wishnev, who all Numbers Game listeners know and was one of the stars not only of the Megapod, but of the Showtime docuseries Action, he murders that market on a nightly basis.
Yeah, no, I think that there's some opportunity there. So one thing, the juice is more, but you isolate on one particular pitcher, and then you can, like, the top three hitters in the opposing lineup or your team's lineup that you're betting on, you can focus on them. I definitely think, and this is why I've moved towards the first five recently, and people will notice. Oh, God, Basewinner's got a lot more first fives than he normally does. I think, Gil, the market's going to get more competitive. So it's worth my time to investigate this. And I definitely think there's opportunities in this market, especially if it gets more competitive, Gil.
Yeah. Have you noticed any difference in the first fives with the popularity of first inning betting at all? Have you noticed any change at all?
Well, no. I mean, are you talking about the variety of bets?
No, I'm just saying in pricing, perhaps, something like that.
Yeah, I haven't. I think anecdotal. I think it's getting better, getting better.
Now
How we got the echo.
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 Wow.
Everybody okay after that?
Yeah. Jeez. Guess that's what it's like to be on acid on the radio or something. Wow.
Well, that's a new one.
Well, that was a new one.
Let's see. We got a Windows 98
I'm gonna
theme.
I'm guess Mark's not still here.
We got an echo.
No, you sound good.
Oh, no, he's back. Can we get Mark? Okay. Yeah, now we.
I never even heard it, man.
All right, so, good. Okay, Mark.
But anyway, yeah, I think this market's going to get competitive. You got 8 sports books here in the state of Arizona, and they're going to have to try to attract people. And I think eventually, you know, it's going to come away from bonuses. People get more educated. They're going to be like, I want to get a good line. And so I think that's going to happen. Yeah.
Okay. So over 2.5, the team total for the Giants, first 5 against the Guardians tonight at Oracle in San Francisco, which, by the way, I went to Friday night. Boy, do I miss that ballpark. Just wish I could just sleep there and eat there and spend my life there. That's how much
I
love it.
You came back and you were stoned too, based on my experience there.
Oh, I resemble that remark. All right. What else do you have today?
You know, I'm going to go first 5 parlay with Texas. Scherzer's numbers are encouraging. If you look at his stuff, plus 73 percentile. He's got a 32% strikeout rate in his last 150 plate appearance. So I really like that. I'm going to play that game with the full game with Houston. So kind of a AL West parlay, if you will. And I liked Verlander. He seems to be, for me, at least from a real granular standpoint, rounding back into form. You look at his stuff plus over the last 30 days, it's an 86th percentile. I've got the game priced at Houston. You talk about a team that's really good and when they're healthy. Well, now they're healthy and they're really good offensively. So I've got them priced at minus 334 in the market. So if you put Texas first 5 and Houston full game, you get plus 158. I think that's a really good parlay, and that's probably my favorite bet of the day, Gil.
Okay. Well, wouldn't be an official Mark Borchard segment without a parlay there. By the way, at DraftKings, you can now.
I'm really doing a job on this show, so guys. Tune in.
You can bet on seeding now. Seeding in the baseball playoffs over at DraftKings. You can bet on that, which is super cool. Obviously, with the tight races in both the American League and the National League. There are some, obviously, you know, all these teams to make the playoffs, Jays, Rangers, Mariners, Astros, but specifically right now, as you look at the standing, Jays, Rangers, Mariners in the American League with the Blue Jays being a minus 300 favorite, but plus 250 on the no, the Rangers plus 170 on the no, the Mariners plus 150 on the no. I mean, there's a good bet out there. Same applies for the National League, where the Diamondbacks are close to a coin flip to make the postseason, but like a team like the Marlins is plus 225. 25 to make it. The Reds are 6-1, and the Giants are plus 240 to make it. What do you like there?
Say that again, Gil.
Did you hear any of that with the to make the playoffs? Did you,
Blue Jays. I've got Toronto 72% chance.
Okay.
To get the playoffs, I got the Giants at 48% and the D-backs at 40%.
Oh, okay. So maybe some value on the Giants to make it at plus 240 is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Based on those numbers, what's the price on the D-backs?
D-backs are almost a coin flip in terms of yes and no. They're minus 105.
The value that. San Francisco Giants.
Values on the San Francisco Giants. All right, Mark, we apologize for the audio problems. I know you may not have heard them, but we're certainly hearing them. So I thank you for slogging through with us. Thank you, Mark.
My pleasure, Gil.
Mark Borchard at Base Winner. BaseWinner.com, Base Winner Podcast, BetUS, which he does with Jason. Again, creative hiring over there. Wonder where they got those guys from.
Now I'm just wondering if that went over air or if it was just like, whoa,
we're about to find out.
We're
about to find out.
You
on
and I
Twitter
might
have machine.
Looked like idiots if that didn't go out over air.
Oh, yeah. If y'all only knew what was happening inside our earphones, our headphones.
Who's got the Gil.
Dr. David Chow on Aaron Rodgers injuries and beyond. Travis Kelce and more. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from the D. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, and our betting splits lets you know where the money and bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, live from the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Kelly, I am not going to Ron Burgundy through these, but I'm going to pick and choose. How about that?
Yeah.
D-Money 2171. The Jets need Phillip Rivers. The offensive line is terrible, and with 10 kids, he's used to working without protection.
Oh, hey-o. We can stop making the same Phillip Rivers jokes. Come on.
Scola talking about the echo effect that happened last segment. He goes, remix.
Remix. I'm just glad everybody else heard that one because we wouldn't have had a good reaction otherwise.
Michael Burns, just do the show on Fremont and fly your guests in for the day. let's see. Eddie Vegan Runner, thanks for today's LSD flashback. Joel Nigro. Gil, the show is great. No need to go to the cheap sound effect gimmicks. apparently, Isaiah Thomas was ejected for confronting a fan who yelled about a free Frosty and sneakers tennis, praying that it was Todd Wishnev that created that. Ryan Hyatt, not sure what just happened on VSiN with Gil and Kelly, but they should use that echo sound effect anytime a guest makes a great point or edgy statement. Just leave it on the whole time for Will Hill. And then
we'll set that up tomorrow for Will.
55's the mic. I hear you. I can't read that. Let's see here. Oh, Den Bells. Coming soon to a Vegas nightclub near you, the numbers game first five parlay remix.
Mark has been playing a lot of those recently.
Yeah.
You know what I think about? Because I always write down, you know, guest plays. I always go up at VSiN.com, so I always have to write them down. The betting 101 of just having to explain terminology that you would see, on a betting card somewhere. Mark Borchardt, perfect person for it, because everything I'm typing in, right, is Astros ML / Rangers F5 ML parlay, right? It's Giants TT over 2.5 F5, like...
Dr. David Chow is kind enough to join us now. He has been the head doc for the head team doc for over 17 years in the National Football League. He was with us in studio at the South Point a few years back. You can follow him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. He joins us now. Good morning to you, Dr. Chow. How are you?
Good morning. How are the new digs?
Well, let's move on, Dr. Chow. Let's move on to a football question.
Okay.
They're wonderful. Oh, absolutely wonderful.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers.
Right, I won't go there.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, the ruptured Achilles, it was confirmed this morning. I don't know why we couldn't confirm it last night, but it has happened. And I guess my question to you is, and I'm someone who has ruptured not one but two Achilles, I'll ask you what I speculated on this morning, which is physically he could come back, right? But practically speaking, at 40 years old, there really is no point, would you say?
Oh, you mean this season or ever?
Ever, I'm talking.
Oh, I believe that, take it to the bank, that he will come back. Literally, I'm almost as sure as I can be, and here is why. First of all, Achilles recovery is fairly reliable. The recovery from Achilles has gotten a lot better than, let's say, the Dan Marino days, if you remember him limping around in the backfield playing after his Achilles. In 2019, a lot of the world said Kevin Durant will never be the same after his Achilles, and he's certainly the same and as good as before. And the game of basketball above the rim and otherwise is certainly harder than NFL quarterback. Even if Aaron Rodgers loses a tiny step, the good news is it's his front leg, not the back leg, that you need for more throwing and accuracy. Even if it affects his mobility a little bit, he's going to be way more mobile at age 40 coming off an Achilles than Tom Brady at 45. And no offense to my guy, Phillip Rivers, but way more mobile than Phillip Rivers at age 24. So I do think that he will come back. And here's the other thing, Gil. I'll have to say, I don't know Aaron Rodgers personally, but I know people like him and how they're built. They do not want that to be their legacy or to walk off the football field after that. And he also seems so happy and excited to be there with his new teammates. So I do strongly believe medically and mindset-wise, he will run it back next year.
Okay, well, medically, he sure can. By the way, and I could speak to what you're talking about. The first time I had one was 1996. The second time was 2019. In 1996, the advice was, don't do a thing for 6 months. The rate of re-rupture is too high. For God's sakes, do nothing. By 2019, it was like, get out there immediately, right? It was a completely different medical viewpoint on it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's still schools of thought where you wouldn't do surgery on this. For an athlete, you pretty much always would, and that allows you to speed up the recovery as well.
All right, let's talk about Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. Initially, when his injury first happened, they actually thought there was a tibial plateau fracture, which is a fracture of the leg, as you know, would have put him out for the year. Instead, it was, you know, called a really deep bone bruise, and they had to pull out the 45cc blood. What is your opinion on his availability and how long this should last?
Well, we indicated bone bruise as the best case scenario. Of course, we didn't examine Travis Kelce, don't have a look at his MRI. And I do appreciate the NFL on Fox report of a really deep bone bruise. And that's why we said all along, he was not close to playing on Thursday. That's why the pregame quote game time decision, which I never believed, wasn't really one. They worked him out in a pool the morning of the Thursday night game. That's not close to playing. And we've been saying all along, not only would he miss Thursday, week two is in question. The Jay Glazer report fits that. Now, if it's a fact, and I'm not doubting Glazer's reporting, but if it was 45 cc's of pure blood, there is no way he's playing week two. If it was 45 cc's of blood tinged fluid, look, believe it or not, when you pull out, when you drain a knee, true blood is very dark, like crimson dark red, because there's no more oxygen in it. Blood tinged fluid looks bloodier, just a couple drops, like Easter egg dye, right? And you have to hope blood tinged, because if it was frank blood that was aspirated, 45 cc's, that indicates there's some significant damage, whether to the articular surface from fracture or to other associated structures. So I'm hopeful that's a layperson. You know, Jay Glazer is great. He's got great sources. But, you know, whoever told him likely is a layperson, hopefully. And that means it was more blood tinged, which gives them a chance for week two, but not a guarantee. I've been saying all along, this is a bigger deal than the team made it out to be. Yo, now let me give you this. In my 17 years in the NFL, we never had a true game time decision. There were plenty of times that we worked a guy. There were plenty of times where we worked a guy out 2 hours before the game, before the 90-minute inactive declaration, to confirm they were good to go. There were plenty of times that we worked them out to confirm that they weren't ready to go. But we didn't ever go into a situation where it was like, gee, we don't really know. We're just going to see what he does, and then here you go, right? Now, that's so I always chuckle when you hear true game time decision as opposed to false game time decision. I mean, that's just my NFL experience, you know, on Sirius when I go on, and not infrequently with Mark Dominic. I've asked him about it when he's been a host, and he agreed that in Tampa they pretty much always knew. And I'm not saying we knew every time for certain, but like, okay, we're 95% certain he's ready to go, but let's check and make sure. We're 95% certain he's not going to be able to go, but let's check to make sure, keep hope alive. But this whole true, we don't know at all.
Yeah,
I've never encountered.
So we're not sure about Travis Kelce, by the way. Chiefs, in case you missed the news, Chris Jones does sign with the Chiefs, so they will have him, which is a huge difference for the Chiefs in this coming game against Jacksonville. Real quick, we only have a minute left here. Dr. Chow, Anthony Richardson, last sequence of the Colts game against the Jaguars, he converted a 4th and 5, but a lower body injury. Gardner Minshew had to play the final several plays of this game. It looks like Shane Steichen saying he'll be okay. You believe that? He's not in danger of missing any time? He's a go?
I do believe that, because his injury was actually in the first quarter on his first 12-yard run, and he continued to play. And his bone bruise is much different than Travis Kelce's. Travis Kelce's bone bruise is the two ends of his bone slamming together, and that's a bigger deal than Anthony Richardson, which is getting hit on the knee with the ground. That's literally just a bruise, as opposed to this worry about structural damage to the bone, etc. Different types of bone bruise. Full confidence confidence in what Shane Steichen is saying and that Anthony Richardson will play against the Texans.
David, thank you so much. Dr. David Chow, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to David Chow for having his great audio to close the show.
I hope you enjoyed that 15 minutes of
what
the show.
What do we have that at? Like plus 900? What do we have that at?
I don't know.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
the
big dog hit.
That was a great cut. I could actually speak with him. We've done all we can do. That's for sure. Again, in case you missed it, confirmed Aaron Rodgers with the torn Achilles out for the season. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.